Well, it's for the record, it's a little after 10:15. This is the first meeting of the EDT committee, and joining us today, Vice Chair Olson, Representative Foster, Representative Munoz should be here shortly, Representative Thompson, Representative Gardner, Representative Keller, Representative Peggy Wilson, and Representative Tuck, who will give a hard time here shortly, is on travel status. And if you have a cell phone, please put it on silent if you could. To the committee members, I anticipate this will be a relatively short meeting today, and you know its goals and priorities, and we can talk about what we think the committee should work toward this year. Look forward to working with all of you. I was talking to Representative Thompson yesterday, and amazingly, at least his community, is everything: economic development, tourism, and trade. So, you know, his community has a vested interest. And as you can see, you can go down the list of all the members. There really is no duplication of any one region of the state. And so, well, he's not here, so today. But I think that what we can do is each of us can have the time. And what I'd like to do is, we do have a travel budget that we're going to go around the state together, and each one of you can showcase successes, and then also showcase six almost successes that maybe this committee can help in the future. So, you know, with that, you know, should the committee is probably not going to get much in the way of legislation, though we do have two bills in committee right now, House Bill 119 and House Bill 120, both governor's bills, and I believe we'll get another bill this week from the governor, as well as maybe another bill. Kathy, you're right here. Debbie, please note for the record that Representative Munoz has joined us. Earlier this morning, we had a joint CNRA EDT meeting, and I thought it went real well. Representative Munoz put the commissioner on the spot several times, and so good start. So, anyway, I think that what I'd like to do is maybe go around the table and ask you to see how you see this committee can do, what's of interest to you, why maybe one of the economic development, tourism, or trade is something that is important to your constituents. And this is not the, you know, we have to decide what we're going to do today. Maybe over the next couple of meetings we can sort of narrow our focus and work together. As you're coming in, Representative Munoz, we do have a travel budget, and it's the intent of the committee that the committee will do things within the state. What I was sharing with the rest of the committee members, that me and Representative Thompson had a conversation yesterday, and I want to be able for Representative Thompson to showcase a success in his region, and then maybe something that needs a little additional help. Mm-hmm. And so, again, for your part of the state, let's showcase something, mm-hmm. because your success in your community might help somebody in my community. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we're going with this. So with that, I'll ask my vice chair to start it out, and your thoughts.
A good portion of my local economy, Central Kenai Peninsula, is tourism. And I have yet to sit on a committee that in my previous terms that has really been involved with tourism, so I'm looking forward to it from that standpoint. I was on CRA for a couple years, which had it on the peripheral, but not a committee devoted to what we're hopefully going to do. So I can probably find something on the Central Peninsula that would be different from what you have in most of your areas. But mm-hmm. I'll have to think about it. Brad on the spot, I've got a couple ideas. But
Representative Olson, though, is we've had conversations, and you know, you've had companies come to the Kenai that, of course, they need gas, they need lots of gas. But I was thinking that our focus, no matter what it is should we, as this kind of, I guess, information gathering, information distribution, value-added projects, value-added businesses for your area?
We had Dow Chemical approaches probably 4 years ago. They project 10 years out. They're building a new plant that comes online. Well, probably have one come on a year, but they're looking 10 years out from when they have the beginning stages until they actually turn on. And we could give them land. We could give them skilled workforce from our Kenai Peninsula College trains a lot of people on the North Slope and technical jobs. So we had the ability to give them trained workers. We had a lot of the agrium workers that were still in the area after we lost our main value-added industry. And we could give them everything except a billion cubic feet of gas a day. And that was what pretty well killed the deal. The borough was going to give them free land at the port in Nikiski, which is ice-free maybe 363 days a year. But we couldn't give them the amount of gas, the volume of gas that they needed.
Well, I guess for the committee members to dovetail with that is, you know, obviously there's members that are on other committees that are going to be, whether it's resources or any other committees, is they're going to be focused on oil and gas taxes. And so realistically, we're probably not going to have that debate in here, but we can add to the discussion by showing the legislature and the state that there are other, there are value-added businesses that will be want to be a part of that oil and gas tax discussion that we're going to have. So appreciate that. Representative Keller?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it was a great opportunity. I I guess my primary focus, I'm pretty concerned about the overall economy and, this committee. I think we have a golden opportunity to do some proactive, positive stuff if we, just getting the word out is really important. I'm on the NCSL Deficit Reduction Task Force, and in that role, have heard some of the projections, economic projections for the next 20 years, and it's really spooky. And there's a lot of states. I also was in the fiscal planning stuff with American, ALEC that I'm a member of also, and the NCSL fiscal planning stuff. And they, the point I'm trying to make is most of the states are, in very dire straits. In Alaska, we're very fortunate because we're not there, at least we're not there yet. And I think that some proactive thoughts on it would be really, we might look back and say, hey, that's really neat that we did that. I can't wait to get you into my my community, and the first thing that popped in my head, I may change my mind, but the is our port, the borough, the Matsu borough. We could probably arrange a tour. We have a port terminal over there. The potential, I think, will stun you when you see the big open spaces there that are being developed. We have a mile loop, for example, of rail going in, and it's all staging areas, and hopefully for pipe, for what we all anticipate, but lots of things, for economic development on Point McKenzie, which is right across from Anchorage and down in from my area. It's actually closer to Anchorage than it is to my district, but it's in our borough. And so I'm really excited to show you that, and the implications for what happened there will affect all of you. I mean, it really will. Probably, in some ways more than it will us. It'll be jobs in our community, but it'll be a statewide focus that should go. And it is. I mean, we have support, like from Fairbanks, very much because a lot of the goods that come through. Will come through more economically into the new port development there. But But anyway, thanks for the opportunity. I look forward to working with you all. And
then, of course, on this coming Thursday, we're going to have a division of ag in, and the focus is going to be on seed potatoes, which is, of course, your region, and the emerging potential of having significant seed potatoes go to China. And so that's just one aspect that we really want to explore. I have a constituent that's real interested that the state start developing seed banks beyond potatoes, other seed products. So,
I mean, you get me going, yeah, you know, sure.
Well,
we have a great facility. We could maybe make a loop and include that in the tour. It's the opposite direction. But we have the seed potato facility, and they're working, and every year it's growing. But agriculture in general, you'd be impressed at the kind of things that happen in the Mat-Su. I mean, Representative Stoltz provides a tour every year for the delegation in the area, and we go to the various farms, and I think you'd be stunned. For example, big fields where the tractor goes down and they're picking this nice iceberg lettuce, you know. You just don't think of that, you know, with Alaska. But a lot of the produce that comes out of there goes into the local store is very, very significant in our overall economy. But yeah, like I say, anything else, you know, we can talk about my area a lot. It's great. Thanks.
Yeah, on Thursday, just a sort of a preview is, of course, we're going to learn about seed potatoes from the department, but I'm going to highlight an individual that has done it on his own out in Bethel, is that he leased land from DOT on the airport. He created a potato farm, and he harvested 50,000 pounds, and he has it in a root cellar, and he's selling it locally in the region. So, and he did it literally on his own, physically he did, and it was a pretty amazing story. So together, those two things. So,
I was fortunate enough to be able to visit his farm, and I just like the committee members to know he has far more than just potatoes. A host of different kinds of produce that he would like to see when they have shipments, barges or whatever, that come up and go back empty. He'd like to fill them with his produce and take it back to Anchorage.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you. The seed potatoes also stretch up into the Tanana Valley and clear out to Delta Junction. Met with the Chinese delegation that was up there about a month ago, and they were up there really looking things over. I think we have to be careful. They're wanting to buy 8,000 acres out of Delta Junction, where that they would grow their own and take care of their own and ship their own, and kind of cut us out of some of that. And I want to make sure we don't have that happen to us again, mm-hmm. where that suddenly we don't have any control, or it's not creating jobs for us. But that is a point there with your Port McKenzie coming in. That is very important to Fairbanks because of in shipping, and also potentially for the future with that value added for products being shipped out. Fairbanks energy, that's been our big focus. That is definitely one of the big things that we're looking at, that the interior, not only for our homes and our businesses, for space heat and electricity costs, but if we can get affordable energy, is going to open up economic development. We have more potential mines all around us, clear out to Livengood, where they have one of the largest lime deposits in the country. Value added would be making the concrete, bagging it, and shipping it from Port McKenzie to other places around the United States and the world. So that is one of the big ones we're looking at. In-state gas, to sit in a dam, both of those are very important, but both of those are quite a ways out. So the Healy coal plant is a good interim. We need electricity in the meantime, because in-state gas or Sioux City in a dam, you're looking out over 10 to 15 plus years on both of those projects, and we need to make sure we've got that interim Healy coal plant operating for electricity for that period of time. It's an interim thought, but it is very important, and making sure that our inner tie is upgraded and where we can use the longer rail belt and expand it possibly even away from the rail belt. Those are the big ones we have that are very important. Again, you brought up tourism. That is huge in Fairbanks. I was mayor from 2001 to 2007, and the only economic development we had was about six hotels being built, which was a lot of good construction and a lot of jobs. But tourism is very important to the interior. When the head tax got lowered on the cruise ships, it did allow people to come on up with the land cruises and come through Fairbanks, and so that has been an increasing thing, but we have to continue to do that. Successes, cold climate region housing facility up there, they're making all kinds of discoveries that are helping people that live in the colder climates to build houses that are more efficient and saving on energy a lot. That's one of our successes that we have up there that's very good. We have a new pellet plant that was just completed. Took a lot of years to get it going. It employs about 30 people, but that shows that we have potential for additional things with biomass that we have a lot of. During that period of time, Georgia-Pacific was up, looking at the amount of birch that we have in through the Tanana Valley watershed. Birch furniture, birch, everything you can think of. They were excited because of the amount we have and the quality that we have. They did a test shipment, and they liked it all, except shipping is pretty expensive. Again, if we can get some backhaul rates and do some things, we have a potential to do some economic development there that could employ people, even the finished product in that area, if we can afford to ship it. It would be a potential also. One of the things that we have there that is very, very good is the Maury Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center. That has been a very, I think, important thing to the entire interior. They showcase the bush areas and have a kiosk where people can book tours into different areas in the bush and along the Yukon River to the smaller villages and tie that together where tourism finally is starting to reach out to the real Alaska. And that's another thing that I wouldn't mind showing you if you come up. It's a great thing. They're not completely finished with all of their displays. I think they even asked for some more money this year. But it's a potential that it helps the entire interior northern region of Alaska. Those are biggies to me. Those are the ones I'm kind of looking at. The thing that I think that we have to concentrate on is we're ranked 50th in the nation on business friendly. And as far as economic development, we've got to do something to try to change that. We need to look into that. When you hear Gary Stevens from Kodiak talking about it takes 30 to 60 days to permit for drilling an oil well in North Dakota, and it takes 30 days or less to permit for drilling a new oil well or gas well in Texas. And for us here in Alaska, it takes us years and more and more and more permits and more scrutinization. I think that's something we have to maybe look at as a group also. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Representative Thompson, appreciate that. This calendar year, North Dakota is going to drill 2,300 wells.
Yeah, way more than
exploration
us.
Wells. But going back to your specific points, of course, when we have this meeting on Thursday, I'd like you to help us engage with the department about your concerns about. You shared that China visit about potatoes in the Delta. We probably should really press the department on, your concerns. But at the same time, we want to sell those seed potatoes.
Absolutely.
To them. And then one thing you didn't mention, but maybe the committee can figure out, maybe there's a resolution, but isn't there an incredible concern about the railroad bridge across the Tanana?
Yes, I didn't get down that far on my list, but that is a major concern. That would ensure that the military would stay. I mean, we have the BRAC possibility still facing us with the Fairbanks North Star Bureau not always meeting 2.5 the parts per million on the air quality. The military they look at that in their overall picture of where bases are and what problems are. The bridge is a very important to the military to get over to their training area. They try to move everything in the wintertime across ice bridges, and if the weather's not right, they don't have a good ice bridge. They're flying it all with helicopters. The expense is terrible. But that training facility is one of the largest ones in the world. And it's so usable, but we need to get that bridge across. And we're going to have a presentation, I believe, by the railroad on that here in the near future. They went back because EPA was involved in the entire planning process. Everything was moving along, and all of a sudden EPA just seemed to change their mind and said, nope, we don't like where it is. You need to move it. Well, they don't have enough money, and the more money they spend restudying, re-permitting, and everything, the more money is going to go away. in 2 years, if that ground isn't broken, that money being spent, the money's going to go away and we're going to lose that opportunity. So it's very important to get it moving, or we're going to lose the opportunity and the federal funds along with that. And if we do lose those federal funds, I hope we can get them redone to something in the area, but I want to see that bridge built. It's very important, I think, to the military and the interior.
Well, I guess that's the role. What I'm hearing from the committee is we got to, you know, take advantage and show people these opportunities that may go away. So I'll work with you and the rest of the committee. Maybe that's something that we really need to explore in this committee, is getting that information out about the potential and, of course, the potential loss of that project going forward. Thank you very much. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've never been on this committee before, so I'm really excited about it because, obviously, the economy in my area, because we've lost so many people in the last 20 years, we've lost over 5,000 just in Southeast, and that makes it just very, very difficult. And so our main income now is tourism and fishing, and it used to be forestry, you know, the timber industry. Well, the timber industry has been shut down, and so that's why we've lost so many people, and it just kind of the domino effect, you know. When you pull people out of an area, you just lose a lot. But we're working real hard at coming back with different projects and trying to pull ourselves back up. We have a lot going on, but much of it is phases. You know, you don't have enough money to do the whole thing, so you do one phase, and then you do another phase, and then you do another phase. But in Wrangell, we have a boat haul out, and the economics of that years ago was that we wouldn't be able to, it wouldn't be economic. And so we went ahead and looked at it, and we got 150-ton boat haul out. And now it is doing so well that we should have done a 250-ton, you know. So you never know. It's kind of like build it and they'll come, you know. So we have a new harbor that's not totally completed yet, but we're doing phases of that. And it is shocking to us how it just filled up. And we could put more boats in there, but we just don't have it. The space right now, so we're still doing whatnot. We're trying to think of how to help each other. We're doing a community garden. As tourism kind of turns around, the only way that people can get into all of my towns is either by, there's no roads, so it's totally roadless, and so therefore you can only get there by either the ferry system or somebody else, and somebody can come in using their own boats or whatnot, or Alaska Airlines, and that we have little puddle, what we call them, puddle jumpers that go here and there. But we have a lot of things that have been developed over the years, like Petersburg has a little Norway festival. Haines has a time when people come and observe the eagles. In Sitka, we actually have a bear sanctuary now, and that if the mother bear's been for some reason was killed or something, then a place that we can actually people can come and observe the bears, and they have lots of other animals there also. And Wrangell has Ann, where you can go and in a giant treehouse, you kind of, so to say, you watch the bears. So there's a lot of things that go on in different areas of my district, but having a ferry system that's reliable it is very difficult when something happens and it's not the same route that you figured next year. I mean, you know, we just have a lot of things that are kind of pulling against us. We also have hunting. We have it for all kinds of people, if you're just the people that like to observe them. There's places where you can observe them. If you're the type of person that likes to hunt them, you can do that, depending on what area of my district you're in. So it's definitely an area that we still need to develop more economic development, and probably for a business industry, we really need to work on, in my district, there's only three communities that have hydropower. The rest of them are all on diesel or something like that, and it's a huge expense, as you all know nowadays. And so if we can get more of our grid hooked together so that there would be more communities involved with hydropower, I think we could get more economic development coming, because business lots of times will come if their utilities are fairly cheap. And so there's a lot to go yet as far as working and making access available for both tourism and for industry. So I'm anxious to see what we can do, and if we can come up with some great ideas that would help all of the state, that would be just absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. Representative Gardner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I recognize that a great deal of the wealth of Alaska comes from outside my district, which is Anchorage. And given also the fact that many of the residents in my district originally came from other places all over the state, is one of the reasons for my interest in community and regional affairs and in this committee. But in my district, there are a lot of small businesses, a lot of small business owners, including people involved in tourism, commercial fishing, oil services, a lot of that. I'm also right next door to the university and have talked with a lot of university people, and as we know, they have ICER working on economic development and also their individuals. So I think the university should be a booster of economic development, an incubator for small business entrepreneurs, and they do have a lot of projects that are crucial to our efforts for economic development, whether it's, you know, engineering programs, global logistics, and all kinds of stuff. So those are my particular interests, although there aren't any. I don't have the sort of issues that some of my neighbors have. And obviously for Anchorage, two big projects that impact the whole state is the Port of Anchorage and Kibata. And both of them, I think there are a lot of legitimate concerns raised about the costs and the management and the expectations. So, you know, I think we need to be careful with those, but I think that will be important for our future.
Appreciate that. Is, you know, I went to a PENWAR meeting, and it was in Washington State, and then they had this Washington State senator who literally gave up an appropriation seat so he could be the chairman of the Senate side of economic development. And in that conversation, he has come up with this idea of creating, he was so frustrated with the university system, he wanted to create an economic development community college. And so maybe with your help, we can explore that with the university. Is, sure, they have rural development degrees, and but do they, does, given what you just said, does the university really have an economic development focus? And so I'm going to direct staff to get a hold of the senator in Washington State and get his ideas. It's really a radical idea, but he says that even in the state of Washington, there is no economic development focus by the governor. Of course, they're going through some tremendously hard times and huge cuts, but again, maybe that's something we can do together.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you're absolutely right. There is no holistic approach. There's a lot of piecemeal work going on that could be knit together for a more focused and hopefully more effective approach. That's a really interesting idea, and I've got some names of people to talk with about that.
Okay.
We'll pursue it.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I started with some notes, and I just kept going here, and I'm going to try and narrow this down to what I might consider kind of our showcase focus for our area. When I think of economic development, I think of jobs, and so just to kind of paint a picture, I've broken it down into both kind of the larger communities, which would be Nome in our area, and then also the small communities. And when you look at Nome or some of the other larger communities, you're looking at things like mining and exploration. We had a large mine up in Nome that started years ago, the construction of that company. And unfortunately, things didn't work out. But when it was there, it was a boom for our community. And I was the president of our fuel company, and I just in charge of a number of retail operations up there. And it was just amazing. And the run of that mining operation was supposed to be, 7 to 12 years. And so, but what goes along with that is also workforce development, and we saw a lot of folks that came in from the villages, and so it wasn't just Nome, but it was the folks coming in and making sure that they were trained, and so economic development, it's important that we have people ready to jump into these jobs, and also we talk a lot about how can we keep folks in the villages to continue working. And health aid training, is something that folks can do to stay in their hometowns, and so that's important. Tourism used to be a really big economy in Nome and in the area. We used to have a lot of folks that came from east from Asia, and that since died off. But we're hopeful that with the opening of the Northwest Passage, we're starting to see more small cruise ship activity. We're seeing all the development that's going to go along with oil and gas companies such as Shell going through there and others. So we'd like to position ourselves, and one of the big priorities for us is to, develop the port that we currently have, and we're also looking at the Coast Guard in terms of wanting to have more of a presence up there, and so they're looking at deep water port, and we don't know where that's going to be. And currently, there's the task force that's in place to look at those things. Part of the workforce development, we've got the Northwest Arctic Career and Technical Center, and I know that regionally in different parts of the state, you're seeing some of these, and we hope that they'll complement each other so that if we're focusing on construction, maybe the Kotzebue Technical Center is going to focus on health aid training or whatnot, and so we want to make sure we're developing those. From the small community standpoint, as we look at energy being such a main priority for the state and for all regions, we're looking at things like renewables and so forth. But one of the quickest and best ways, especially in rural Alaska, to cut energy is through weatherization. You've got very, very outdated homes out in rural Alaska there, and that actually creates jobs. This summer I was out in a number of communities where, I would walk up to a house and there'd be six people working on a house there, and six folks in a community of 200. Those are good jobs. So, native arts. There's been a lot of talk about creating an internet-based system so that there's a co-op, and I think there have been a lot of efforts to do something like that, but I guess I'm looking for, when you think of, social networking sites, there are a lot of different sites out there, but there's one that everybody knows about, and that's Facebook. How can we create the Facebook of internet, for these native arts to get those out there and on a global scale? If I were to pick one in terms of a showcase, certainly the fishing industry is very key and critical to Western Alaska. And I was speaking with somebody at ASME the other day, and he said, you should really consider, there's a lot of talk about, adding value to fishing. whether that be in the crab or halibut or salmon industries. What if you had a cannery and you could get, say, the salmon or even reindeer, and I'll expand on that, into the domestic or international food aid program, you know? And in my district, I've got the Wade Hampton census area, which is economically it's the poorest in the state, and the last I saw, it was the eighth poorest in the nation. And to be able to work with, say, the federal government and creating a program to help those folks in an already poverty-stricken area to help other folks that are in need, I think is a great opportunity. And we're seeing some great successes with the CDQ groups that we have out there, like Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation and Coastal Villages and so forth. They do a lot in terms of getting back into the community. And in terms of the reindeer, I know that the college up in Nome there is the problem has always been, you know, you have to be certified and you have to go through the process of making sure that, you know, the meat's going to be clean and pass inspection. And they're working on that right now with a special trailer van, and it's being authorized by the powers that be. And so also maybe getting that into some kind of a program like that. And so those are the types of things I think kind of trying to think outside of the box that when he told me about that, I thought that's a great idea. And whether or not that works, I think it's, you know, thinking along those lines. So that would be my thought on that. Thank you.
Well, maybe on top of all that, given Nome's history is that series gold, Alaska gold or gold in Alaska, maybe they should move from southeast up to Nome in the next season, right?
The next episode. There you go, next season.
Maybe by then they'll have a little more experience. Representative Munoz.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, my interest in this committee has to do with tourism issues. Last year and the year before, we worked on the reduction of the head tax fee for my community, and I know other communities in Southeast and certainly throughout the state. The head tax is really detrimental to the industry, the businesses in general. And in one year, we lost 140,000 visitors coming to this region on cruise ships, and that's a huge reduction. So my interest is on with tourism, and my hope is that we can focus on the next part of that piece, which is the tourism marketing piece. Last session, we had some discussion about the need to have a stable marketing system in place for our tourism industry. And the industry pays into state coffers roughly $130 million. I think a portion of that money should be allocated, if you will. It can't be done dedicated, but it could be done in a way that allows legislatures to put forward a certain a dollar amount to tourism marketing every year that then the industry can rely on, so that there aren't wide swings in the amount of funding going toward marketing in general. So hopefully as a committee we can focus on that, and I would like hopefully to get the ATIA and other groups that are working on specific proposals before the committee at your direction.
Of course, they're meeting this week. They started today and it's through Thursday, but the way their schedule is they're unable to come, but we'll bring them in. And I've asked John Binkley to make a presentation at a future meeting, and so, I mean, that would include Mike Tibbles and Ralph Samuels, and so we'll get them involved as a part of that. And, of course, we're going to need everybody's help on ideas on who we should bring in here. And it isn't about, the way I look at it, isn't about us having overviews. It's about us getting information out through this committee to things that are important to individual members and as a committee as a whole. So we're about done here, but let me kind of go over in review. And
can I just make one more point?
Please.
In terms of an organization I'd like to highlight, the Kensington Mine just came online this last year after 20 years of permitting. And we're working on a tour through the Resources Committee to go out to the mine, and certainly it would be wonderful if we could include this committee as well.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to go see it. So, Representative Tuck is, of course, he's excused. He went to see Robert Redford at Sundance, I guess. You know. So we'll get a full report from him, and you know, obviously, he has some specific legislation that will help the film industry. And so at the next meeting, we'll encourage him to give us a report on his visit to Sundance and what Sundance views Alaska and this new legislation. Just in review, you know, obviously we're going to meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10:15 to about 11:30. Pretty aggressive schedule for the first part of the session is, as you know, once we get into the later part, all of you will be real busy, and there'll most likely be sessions every day, so we won't be able to meet. I don't really want to have evening meetings, because if we get into that stage, again, people have full days. So it's my intent to do a lot of things here in the next, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. One idea is, of course, last year the rules chair, Craig Johnson, had lunch and learns at the noon hour. And so I'm going to work with Eric Feige, and maybe what we could do is that we would have sort of a preview presentation by whatever the topic is in this committee. And so we would get the preview, and then if you wanted to go to lunch and learn, you could, but it would be sort of a warm-up for the presenter, and I'll work with Eric on that. A piece of legislation that I'm going to introduce is a resolution, concurrent resolution, that we'd create a pan-Arctic coalition, Alaska, Northwest Territories, and Yukon Territories. Amazingly, those territories have the same issues with their federal government as the state of Alaska has with Washington, D.C. And so at PENWAR and the Arctic Caucus, I was designated the task to come up with a resolution that creates a pan-Arctic caucus of the two territories and ourselves, we're about ready to give each one of you a draft before I introduce it, so I can get your input on considering that coming out of this committee. House Bill 119 and 120 in our committee. I'd ask you to direct staff to work with my staff on how we want to handle these bills. As soon as the governor requests a hearing, we'll appropriately schedule it, and then we'll get into these two bills on economic development and new markets tax credit assistance. So if you could look at 119 and 120. One other thing is the Canadian consulate from Vancouver wishes to make a presentation to us in the near future. I believe it's end of February. End of February, early March. There'll be a presentation by the Canadian consulate out of Vancouver, and obviously they're a trade partner that's important to us. So, just an FYI.
Question?
Yes.
Doesn't Canada have a consulate in Anchorage?
Mm-hmm. They do, but they want to bring in the Jennifer wants to bring in her boss, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer is great. She's a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Very talented. It was amazing that when I was in Barrow for the Northern Waters Task Force meeting, is the United States government sent the consulate from Vancouver, Washington, the United States consulate, to that meeting. The Canadians sent about 10 people to the meeting in Barrow. So Arctic issues are really important to Alaska, of course, but it seems like to Canada it's more important than it is to our own federal government.
Mr. Chairman, I was on when we were in PENWAR, and we got together and kind of talked about the the gateway, and I know the Canadians would like to have the gateway port into the Arctic, and I just felt at the same time that it would be nice if Alaska had the gateway port into the Arctic, and so maybe they could have one coming one way and we could have one coming another way or something. So I really think that that's extremely important, and if the United States doesn't realize that's going to be huge. And I think for my committee, the Transportation Committee, I think there's a lot of committees that really need to zero in on that, because this is something that is going to bring huge economic possibilities for Alaskans and northern, all Alaska, but in those communities in the north also. And I think we need to talk with some of the communities, because some of them will say, yes, that would be wonderful, but there's some of them that would want to pull back from that because they want their communities to be much like they are. So some communities are going to look at it as a positive and some as a negative, and I think we need to find out which ones are the positive ones and see which ones that are willing to work.
Yes, Representative Keller.
With your permission, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to put in a plug for Penmore. It's come up a number of times today. You went down, and Peggy, it's an excellent organization. And this is, I was wondering if you have any information. They usually come up this time of year, and I was wondering, I haven't heard if they're coming or not. But it's a group, for those of you who may not know, it's a group of states in the Pacific Northwest, including Washington State, Oregon, Montana, I think Idaho, and then into Canada, all the way to Saskatchewan, so Alberta, BC, Yukon, and then us. And they have similar problems. I mean, their federal government is way off over there in the east, you know, and it's a marvelous organization that I have benefited greatly from. And I just wanted to put in a little plug, but ask if you knew if they're coming and if there's a possibility of this committee hosting them or
whatever. Oh, yeah. No, I'll have staff. We're in conversations with Ian, who is one of the people that run it. So we'll get that information to all the committee members. Any final comments? Seeing none, Debbie, please log us out at 11:05. Meeting's adjourned.